Thank you for that. If you have, we'll get going through the books again tonight. My goal is to finish chapter 4, which is talking about relationship with God. We have the different steps of growth. We kind of redid them, and we're on the third one, which is a relationship. By way of brief review, so you understand, we mentioned that God desires, for some reason, to have a close relationship with us. And of course, when we're saved, we're born into God's family, so we become his children. And so because of that, he wants to have a close relationship with us. The way that is accomplished is by one of the main ways, is by having a daily relationship with him. Having time with him each and every day. There's many names people call that, but for our purposes, we're calling that a relationship. Now, we said that there are two very vital aspects to that relationship. One is the Bible, the Word of God, and we looked at that already. And the second is what we will start tonight, which is prayer, spending time in prayer. If the Bible is God speaking to us, prayer is us speaking to God. And that just makes sense, right? In a relationship, it's in a healthy relationship, it's two-way communication. Each are talking and listening. And so that's what prayer and the Bible are. So let's look at this under the heading in chapter number 4. I don't know what page it is in your book, but 33? Thank you. Page number 33. Spending daily time in prayer. Spending daily time in prayer. It's amazing to me that the creator of the universe would even want to spend time with me at all. And even more amazing, he wants to spend time with you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're the same. That just boggles my mind. Here's how I feel about it. These verses aren't in your book, but you can jot them down. I think there's a space there. Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And I've mentioned several times over our last few weeks, we look at those phrases and we read them so quickly. It's like, you know how vast the universe is? Okay, God made that. And he's saying, when I consider all that, then he says in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the whole scheme of thing, and the whole scheme of how vast God's creation is and his power, it's like, why would he even think about me? Job 7:17. Job, it says, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? Not only does God think of us, he sets his heart upon us. Yep. He has a desire for us. He has a love for us that's beyond any human comprehension. When we think about prayers, we get into this. Understand this. None of us are experts. None of us. There are certain subjects, well, you're really not a subject expert about everything, but certain things you look at in the Bible, like, certain things you preach on or teach on or people write books, you know, like marriage. No one's an expert at marriage. And the guy that tells you he is, he's probably a newlywed, okay? You know, child rearing, things like that. You do the best you can. You try to follow the Bible, but none of us feel like we have it all the way down. And prayer is like that. All of us feel like failures at one time or another. By the way, wouldn't you when you're coming before a holy God? Studying prayer will not make us more effective in prayer, as it were. It only makes us effective if it actually drives us to actually pray. We can learn about whatever, but if we don't actually put it into practice, it doesn't really help us very much. And so that's the goal, to try to get us to do that. Back to the book, but not only does God want to spend time with me, which boggles my mind, he wants me to bring my request to him. It's one thing for God to spend time with us. It's another thing where God says, I want you to bring your needs to me. I want you to come to me and ask me for what you need. Now that's amazing. And by the way, he's the only one guaranteed that can actually do something about everything. Prayer, the word prayer means what? Asking. Read the Old Testament. One person's talked to another, give me, I pray thee. It's like, what, are they praying to that person? No. They ask them. That's what the word means. Now, let me ask you this. As parents, well, the answer sometimes is going to be yes to this, but as parents, did we mind when our children came and asked us for things? I mean, not if they're asking for another candy bar or something like that, or if they can stay up 3 extra hours. But look, if our children have needs and they come and ask us, we don't mind. They're our children. We want to help them get the things that they need. Don't you think God, who is a perfect father, don't you think God, who is our heavenly father, don't you think he feels the same way? Next, many Christians treat prayer the same way they treat an emergency. When in times of emergency, we pick up the phone and dial 911. However, that is extremely rare. Most people only pray when there is an emergency, whereas God wants prayer to be, and here's the word, a daily occurrence. Look, has anybody called 911 in the last month? Come on, raise your hand. Maybe you did. Maybe you knew the person on the other end, or you were just lonely and wanted to talk to somebody, right? I heard a story one time that a lady called 911 to complain that a pizza place was late. Okay, her elevator missed a lot of floors. But no, we don't do that very often. Now, it's nice that it's there when we need it. A lot of Christians treat prayer like that. It's only there when there's everything's out of control and I gotta have something, that's when I go to God. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with doing that. Remember Jonah? We preached on him a couple Sunday mornings ago. When he was in the belly of the great fish, he went to God in prayer. That was a 911 prayer. That was a smart move. When Peter was starting to drown, he went to Jesus immediately, and it wasn't a very long prayer, but that's how it works. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the key. Emergency prayer should not be the only times we pray. Coming to God in prayer shouldn't just happen when we have this huge need, everything's out of control, we don't know what to do. It should just be a regular occurrence. What if your family ignored you except when they have an emergency? Now, I know what you're thinking. I have family members like that. We probably all do. I don't know. You wouldn't think much about your relationship with them. Well, think of it this way. I wonder how God feels when the only time we come to him is when we have a catastrophic need. He wants to have a relationship with us. If God wants us to have a relationship with him, then that should be regular, not just when there are problems. Now, let's look at some thoughts that'll help us. Look at the first little point, main point underneath that. You don't have to be an expert in prayer before you begin praying. You don't have to be an expert. That's encouraging. If prayer is just simply talking to God, communicating with him, you don't need an expert. You don't have to be an expert to do that. Lord, we pray that that would bless. You know, I sometimes I fall into the trap too. We fall into King James prayer language. You know, that thou wouldest be with me. You could speak English. It's okay. You say, my English isn't too good. I'll speak Spanish. Speak Swahili. You just speak to him. God knows every language. It's just communicating with him. But a lot of times, like, I don't quite get all the concepts of prayer. I get a lot more of them than I did when I started. I still don't understand all of it, but I understand this. If God says do it, I'm in. If God wants to hear from me, I'm in. If God wants me to ask him for things, I'm in. Amen. You don't have to be an expert. Next, we often say that communication is the key to healthy relationships. We mentioned that. The same is true of our heavenly relationships. Prayer, that's the blank, is communion with God. So you don't have to wait. You know, it's like saying, I just got married. I have to wait till I understand and fully get to know my wife before I talk to her. Let me explain when you will understand your wife. Never. You say, well, does my wife understand you? She quit trying a long time ago. No, that's how you grow in a relationship. You communicate one with another. God wants us to talk to him. We will not grow if we do not pray. Just like we won't grow if we don't read our Bibles, that's the flip side. We don't grow if we don't pray. The two go hand in hand. Remember, you are in God's family. So he is your father. Therefore, prayer and this is encouraging, is based on your relationship with God. That's the word there, relationship. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye. What's the first couple words? Our Father, which art in heaven. See, we're coming to God based on a relationship. Now, if my kids really need something, they would come and they would ask me. And if I feel that it is a real need, and I'll get it for them. If some random person knocked on my door and asked for something and I don't know them, odds are, unless it's, you know, emergency, they're not going to get anything. Okay? My family, that's my family. They're gonna get it. Why? I have a relationship. Prayer is based on relationship. God wants you to pray because he's your heavenly Father. Next, we can't get answers if we don't pray. We can't. We cannot get answers if we don't pray. Amen. God doesn't answer. If you need something and you don't ask God for it, how are you going to get it? We have to go to him and ask. And by the way, it doesn't intimidate God when you ask him for something. Prayer, next thing, as we already mentioned, is asking. God would not tell us to come to him with our requests if he did not want to hear them. Think about that. By the very fact that God wants us to bring our request to him means that he is willing to meet those needs and answer that prayer. So we need to pray. So 100% of the prayers that we do not pray are not answered. If we simply come to God by faith, we desire his will, he hears us. James says it straight out, James 4:2. Ye have not because ye ask not. There's other obstacles. There are other obstacles like sin in our life and things like that. But the greatest obstacle that keeps God from answering our prayer really is we just simply do not pray. Do not pray. John Rice said, my greatest sin and yours is prayerlessness. We'll get to that in a little bit. Next, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray in Jesus' name. It is because of what Jesus did on the cross that we have access to God in prayer. The reason we can come boldly to the throne of grace is because of what Jesus Christ did for us and our relationship to God through him. It's because of the relationship to God that started when the righteousness of Christ was imputed or put on our account. When God sees us from an eternal standpoint, he sees not our own righteousness, because the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of Christ placed on our account. That's why we have the gift of salvation. And so when we come before God, we're coming to his throne because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything good in us. So he tells us, there's two blanks in this one. He tells us when we pray, we are to pray in Jesus' name. Now that means we are praying in his authority and in his will. In other words, the authority we even have to come to God in prayer is because of what Jesus Christ did and his dealing with our sin from an eternal standpoint. And so we can come to God because of his authority and also his will. By the way, one way to get prayers answered is to pray for the things that Jesus is in on. Right? Sometimes we pray very, very selfishly. We pray for things that may not be God's will for our life, and we wonder why he doesn't answer. But listen, if we're praying for things that are in God's will, he's in on that. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Look at the verse there, John 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. For coming before God, and we understand this because of the person of Jesus Christ, and because of him giving us access, things will go better. Some believe that we go to God through Mary, you know, mediators. How many of you have ever heard that, right? You know, I got to pray to this St. Jude and he'll help my car not get in an accident or whatever. We don't need to take the back road to Jesus. Amen. We don't need to take the back road to God. Yep. We're going to God because of Jesus Christ. Right. Now, we don't have to go to someone else and they go to God. We have direct access because of Jesus Christ. Next, God wants us to always pray. to always pray. This is in here. I don't know where I've heard this from, but I've heard it before. Prayer should never be seen as a last resort. The fact of the matter is, prayer should be the first response. Right? We've all heard this phrase, and by the way, there's nothing, I'm not nitpicking with it, because I understand a lot of times when people say this, I understand where they're coming from. But how many of you heard this phrase? Well, all we can do now is pray. Then usually you come back with, has it really come to that? That's like, and I know that people don't mean this when they say it, but it almost sounds like we've done everything else, we've tried to fix it ourselves, we've tried everything, and well, nothing else is working. We might as well give God a chance. Now, I know that's not the spirit behind the saying, but that's a lot of times how it sounds. Not all we can do is pray. Now we get to bring this to prayer. Let's see prayer as something we do all the time. It's not just a last resort. Like, oh, well, you know, we might as well just throw it out there and see what happens. Prayer cannot be something we do only when nothing else is working. And by the way, let me say this. Prayer will only be the first thing we do in a difficult situation when it is the typical thing that we do in everyday situations. Right? See, if we're used to praying on a regular basis, when something comes up that needs immediate attention, it's just so easy to go to God. Yep. But if we're not, then we typically don't. So God wants us to comfortably come to Him at any time from any place. John Hamlin said, one of the greatest motivations to go to God in prayer is the welcome mat at the throne. I like that. It's like God says, come on, I want you here. I want you to come to me. Now the verses that go with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without what? Ceasing. The truth be told, the majority of Christians cease without praying. But God says, don't ever stop it. Also, Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them, speaking of Jesus, to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Most people never pray and always faint. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're 24/7 on our knees? Does that mean that, you know, we can't do anything else but pray? Well, obviously not. That's not what it means. It just means that there's never a time in our life when we stop praying. We spend time with God praying, and so it's just natural throughout the day when something comes up, we just can very quickly, without dropping to our knees, shoot a prayer to God. I like Nehemiah, and I like the book of Nehemiah. That's what Nehemiah did. He would be in difficult situations. One of the times the king asked him something, and before he answered the king in the quietness of his heart, he sent a quick prayer to God. That's praying without ceasing. It's just always there. It's always on the forefront of my mind, and I can use it, and I can make access, and I can have access to it at any minute. It's not just something that, you know, I put off forever. No, it's a part of my life, and it's a part of my life 24 hours a day. Amen. Next, God has commanded us to pray. Now, let's be real practical here for a minute. God has commanded us to pray. That men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. Commands. You know, it's funny. Sometimes we don't think of things in the sense of it's a command to do like other things. Like, you know, rejoice in the Lord. Do you know that's a command? I'm commanded to rejoice. That just seems a little bit weird. But if God is telling me to do something, I should do it. I should make myself rejoice. I should do the things that'll make me rejoice. Prayer is one of those things. As we have seen in many of the verses we have presented, prayer is not just a suggestion. God didn't give the 10 suggestions, right? Sometimes God says, this is what I want you to do. Now, this is a little bit of a tougher stance if we think about it. It's a command of God, something he tells us to do. So if that's true, then it's not optional. It's an obligation. We have to. So then, and I'm not dumping on us, I'm just trying to, we got to think it through. So then if I'm not praying, I am what? I'm disobedient. That's an oucher right there, right? We just think like, well, if I don't pray, it's just, you know, I'm just choosing not to have access to it. But if God commands me to pray and I'm not doing it, I'm being disobedient in a sense. John R. Rice, I listened to an old message of his a few weeks ago, you know, the sin of prayerlessness. And he just, six reasons why not praying is a sin. Now, if you know John R. Rice, you didn't, he was an older type preacher. He was a little bit, you know, just straightforward. So it's very important that we pray. He was really rough. Our pastor, my original pastor, Brother Black, said one time he was in a meeting and John R. Rice was there and he got in the car and a college student made a mistake of getting in the car and sitting next to John R. Rice. John R. Rice turned to the college kid and said, do you believe that God answers prayer? And the kid's all nervous, like, yes, sir, I do. He goes, does he answer your prayers? He goes, well, sometimes. Does he answer your prayer all the time? And the kid, he goes, no. He goes, must be sin in your life. Yeah, that's it. Don't get in the car with the guy. Well, you can't now. But the point is, we have to pray. You know, there are two types of disobedience, right? There's disobedience in our actions. Those are things that we do that God told us not to. And then there's disobedience in our absence. Those are things that we don't do that God did tell us to do. And prayer would be one of those things. And so we don't want to be disobedient. Let's finish it up here. Prayer is not just a privilege, it's an obligation. A Christian who does not pray is not just missing out on the blessings of prayer, he is also being disobedient to the Bible's command. And over and over and over, the Bible tells us to pray. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. The greatest things that we struggle with as Christians in our life, and you could take any category, to be honest with you, the greatest things we struggle with are the things that we're just not faithful to. We just haven't nailed it down, you know? Some people, they just can't nail down church attendance. They mean to be there, and just any little small thing, it'll stop. You know, they mean to give, but they just don't do that. They mean to get in their Bibles, but they let things get in the way. They mean to serve God, and they'll get involved, but they just can't be there all the time. And you just name it. It's a lack of faithfulness that really, really hurts us in all these different areas. And that would also be the Bible when it comes to prayer. Inconsistency. Now, let's look at the acrostic X there. We've mentioned this before. This has always been on our discipleship. When we pray, of course, it is good to kind of have a structure to it. When the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he wanted them to motivate them to pray, that they would pray. So he gave them an outline. And it's not that you pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, hallowed be thy name, all that stuff, our Father which art, hallowed be. And it's not a rote prayer. By the way, you don't pray rote prayers. Well, you know, I got a book, someone wrote prayers, and I'm going to pray those. That's God doesn't want to hear that. That has nothing to do with you. God just wants you to talk. You know, am I going to talk to my wife and go home and say, "Oh, hey, honey, let's go out for dinner," and I pull out a book and I read a book to her? You know, what was the story of the guy that liked the girl and he didn't know how to talk and his buddy did it? Was that Cyrano de Bergerac? Yeah, it's like the guy had to hide in the bushes so he could tell him what to say, okay? And then I think what happened is the guy in the bushes got the girl, right? Is that how it happened? See? We don't. God just wants us to talk to him. He doesn't want to hear what someone else is telling you to tell God. God wants us to talk. So here's a little frame post, a little outline that you can use when you pray. And it's Acts. Each letter stands for something. A stands for adoration. Adoration. This means we spend time honoring God for who he is and what he does. By the way, look in the Bible. That happened all over the place. Look at a lot of the prayers of the saints in the Bible. They're telling God how wonderful he is. They're talking to God about the wonderful works he did. They're telling God about his marvelous power. That's a good place to stop when we get down there. By the way, when we do that, we'll get a better understanding of God before we come to him with our request. Luke 12:2, hallowed be thy name. The people in the Bible always talked about God's majesty, his power, his presentation. We serve a wonderful God, and we might want to let him know how wonderful he is. C stands for confession. After we've talked to the Lord about how wonderful he is, now we need to get to some business before we get to the request. That's confession. Just because our sins have been forgiven does not mean we will not still occasionally sin. You already know you're not perfect, right? Is anybody in here perfect? Raise your hand, you'll become a liar. No, we're not perfect. So what do we do? Well, if sin is not, I know we sin against people and this, that, or the other, but ultimately all sin is disobedience to God. And that's going to sever our relationship with him. So before we go to the throne and ask him to do things and spend some time with him, we have to deal with that sin. We have to confess it. That's very important. Although we desire to live godly and righteous life, we oftentimes fall short. As someone has said, being a Christian doesn't mean you're sinless, but it does mean you sin less. The fact of the matter is we do sin. So what do? There it is. When we do sin, we need to confess it to God, agree with him that it was wrong, and ask his help to not do it again. Amen. Okay. What is confession? Confession is not getting caught. Now, okay, I've had people come in, you know, whether I was a youth director and they did something stupid at school or this or that or whatever, and they'll come in, it's like, you know, I need help. I'm doing this. And they want help with it. They confessed it. Okay, that's confession. Now, I've had other times, particularly when I was a youth ministry, I bring them in. It's like, listen, you were doing this. I heard you were out doing that. What's going on? Oh, you know, I did it. That wasn't confession. That was, yes, you're right. Okay, you understand the difference. Confession is when we get before God, like, Lord, I sinned. I did this. And by the way, confession, here the part is we have to agree with God that it was wrong. And confession is desiring for God to forgive us for that which we agree with him was wrong and ask for him to cleanse us so that we don't do it again. It's not coming in and saying, yeah, Lord, I did this today, you know, and you plan on doing it tomorrow. That's not confession. That's just like, I'll see you tomorrow. So confession is understanding what you did was wrong, agreeing with God that was wrong, and wanting God to forgive you and to help you to get over it so you don't do it again. Here's some verses. This one's really rough. I didn't write it. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Regard means to give a fondness to. If we hear about something that's wrong and in our heart, it's like, you know, I'm kind of okay with that, or I kind of think that would be cool. You're giving a regard to it. God says, I'm not going to listen to you. Why? Because if you have a regard for it in your heart, you're not going to see that it's wrong in God's eyes. You're not going to confess it. You don't want to be clean from it. So God says, fine, let's not play around. I can't hear you because you won't deal with that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we never have to go to a God and sincerely confess and want to get right with him and wonder if he's going to cleanse us and forgive us. Oh yeah, we have his word right there. He will. Amen. Here's another rough one. Are you ready? He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now, let me explain abomination, to hate intensely. God says, if you are to the point where sin in your life, you don't even want to hear what I have to say. God says, when you pray, I don't like it. I hate it. Now, doesn't that make sense? If somebody just ignored everything you said to them, in fact, went the complete opposite, had no regard for anything you said in their life, and then they come and want to ask you for something, would you want to listen? You're a pastor, you should. I don't want to listen, okay? And God says, I don't want to hear that. That's what God thinks of sin. That's what God thinks about disobeying his word. He wants us, and by the way, that sounds harsh, and it sounds harsh for this reason. It is. But God wants to prompt us back to confession and forsaking. Because if not, it hinders our relationship. Let's finish the Acts and we'll be done. Give me a couple more minutes, we're done. T stands for Thanksgiving. T stands for Thanksgiving. Spend some time thanking God for all that he's done in your life. If we spend some time thinking, that's the word. T is for Thanksgiving. If we spend some time thinking of all he's done in our life, we will not have a problem thanking him. We don't think because we don't think. It's not that hard. If you get on your knees before God and you say, and you just want to be thankful, and you think about it for a second, so many things will flood in. We'll get past thinking about what we don't have, and we will rejoice and be thankful for the things that God has given us that we do have. No matter how bad things are in your life, it could be worse, and there's probably somebody who is having it worse. And don't let the things in your life that are down right now, and I'm not minimizing that. We have to deal with it. There's emotions and all that. I get it. But don't let that keep you from recognizing the good things that God has brought into your life. And thanksgiving helps us to do that. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and praise his name. Psalm 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Now, he doesn't say for everything. He says right now, in this instance, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just think about it. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father, name our, all the things. Just stop and think and we'll do it. S, and we'll be done. S is for supplication. Supplication. What is supplication? This means we ask him to meet our needs and to meet the needs of others. These are specific requests that we make to God. Specific request. We specifically ask him for those things that we need in life or for help in specific situations in life, and as we mentioned earlier in that paragraph, for the needs of others. God wants us to ask him for things. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What is God talking about there? Hey, Lord, would you provide for us? God wants that. Supplication. It's right there. Give us this bread, our daily bread. Give us this day, our daily bread. Philippians 4:6. Be careful. That means worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. A lot of times the reason we worry is because we're thinking about those things we need instead of shifting them over to God. That's what we really need to do. Now, we'll start this next time, but let's finish this section. Now that we have seen the importance of a daily time with God and developing a relationship with him, what steps can we ensure that we do this? We'll see you next time on that, okay? All right, let's pray together. Let's stand and we will pray this evening. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the fact specifically as we looked at it tonight that you want us to pray, that you want to spend time with us. I pray you'd help us to spend time with you. Help us, Lord, not to take the needs, the worries, the burdens, you name it, all the things of life that could put us down. Help us not to take those upon our own shoulders. Help us to bring them to you. Lord, help us to spend time in your presence. Bless us now as we go our way until we meet again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.